Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Good morning again. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 8, as we continue through our series, Journeying Through. I hope that this has been a neat experience for you. I know it has been for me, just to being able to preach through the whole book. Just a reminder, so, you know, we're preaching through the Gospel of Luke here on Sunday mornings, but also on Wednesday night, Pastor Scott has been walking us through the Gospel of John. And so there's that, and we just wrap that up, and he will begin a series going through the book of Genesis. So just throwing that out there, just a little commercial for midweek. And if you've got teens and you got kids, then we have awesome things for them as well. So all kind of neat things taking place. But Luke chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading at verse 22. And I'm going to ask you, if you can, to stand for the reading of God's word. If you're not able to, that's okay. But if you can, let's stand for the reading of his word. Hear the word of the Lord. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Let's pray. Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, may it be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone remember that one teachable moment in your life? You know, maybe that time you made a decision and it didn't go so well, and you learned to definitely not do what you just did again. Maybe it's a situation involved in a parent when you were a child. Maybe you did something or said something. You're like, "Well, I know not to do that again." Maybe it's something with your spouse. You know, something has happened, and you say to yourself, "Well, I know not to ever bring that up ever again. Just stay away." You know, those teachable moments that kind of leave an impression upon us. And I know you're expecting for me to tell you now some whimsical story about me doing something stupid, but I don't have one, so we're going to just keep on moving on. We do have them, but I don't have time, and you hear enough of my crazy stories. Life is full of teachable moments, and typically we're being taught in life by this process that I like to call trial and error. Honestly, I'm probably the king of trial and error learning. Essentially, I learn a lot about what not to do. Anybody else like that? I mean, you know not what to do. You know, people will call us, "Hey, can you? I want your advice on this." I'm like, "Listen, I'm not an expert. I just know what not to do." And a lot of times people will ask me, say, "Hey, can you teach me how to do this?" Or something with the computer or things within the church. And I'm like, "Listen, I'm really not a good teacher because I don't know what I'm doing. I just waste enough time with something and fiddle with it enough and it does what I need it to do." And then, you know, it's just one of those things, trial and error. We all learn that way, some of us. You know, life is full of these learning moments. Maybe we've learned what to fear, or maybe we've learned what to doubt. Maybe we've learned what or who to trust. And our text today demonstrates that faith really is about learning and seeing. I think some of us think that faith is just this blind thing that it doesn't always make sense or it's not always logical. But I'm going to make the argument today, and I think our text does as well, that Jesus is going to show us and that faith is more than just jumping into something. Faith is more than just doing something haphazard. But this text is going to show us that there is a rhyme and reason to the life that Jesus is welcoming us into the life that Jesus is calling us to us. It's not just something that we do haphazardly, but there is a learning experience. There is a process that Jesus wants to show us. And in fact, I would argue that the real reason why the Gospel of Luke was even written was to give logic, was to give rhyme and reason to all that was going on. Let me show that to you. Turn back to chapter 1, the very first part of this book. The very reason why Luke is writing this book. He says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of these things that have been fulfilled among us. Now remember, Luke is not someone who followed Jesus around. He's not a disciple. He's a physician. And he's witnessed all these things. He's witnessed and he's known that history has definitely been changed because of this man named Jesus. He understands the shift that is taking place in the culture. And so Luke has set out to write a very historical account of all the things that Jesus has done. And we know that largely he relied upon Mark's source to get a lot of his information. But he's writing to a friend who is following the faith, a friend who apparently is following the teachings of this one called Jesus, this one from the town of Nazareth. And he's saying, I'm going to put all these together so that we can begin to make sense of this. And look at verse 2. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Look at verse 4. So what I want you to see, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. That you would know the certainty of things that you have been taught. Theophilus apparently has this faith. Theophilus at some point has made a decision to follow this radical Nazarene who spent several years healing the sick and teaching about the first being last and the last being first. And so Luke says, hey, Theophilus, I've put all this together, and I'm hoping that it's going to strengthen your faith. By knowing all of this, by seeing this, this is going to give you certainty the things that you have been taught, or you could translate it to say, to help embolden and empower your faith. That's one of the reasons I believe Luke has written his gospel, and that's really, as the Word of God as a whole, this is why we dive into the Word, so that our faith can be emboldened, our faith can grow, our faith can be enhanced by what is revealed to us in His Word. You see, Jesus wants us to grow in our faith in such a way that it is our faith in Jesus which makes the most sense in life. As we're going through life and trying to learn trial and error and trying to understand what is logical and what is illogical, Jesus wants us to grow in our faith in such a way that it is faith that certainly and most definitely makes the most sense, even though we don't always understand it. I'm convinced that the great God wants to lead us to a place where we have the most certainty about who Jesus is and our relationship with Him. So as we dive into our text today here in Luke chapter 8, it's a story in a series of four episodes in which Jesus performs wonders. He's going to still a storm. He's going to calm a storm. He's going to heal a demon-possessed man. He's going to heal a sick woman, and he's going to raise a dead girl to life. So we're going to see these just back-to-back-to-back. And at first glance, you would imagine that, well, the story about a storm is about, it's about Jesus having power over nature, about having power over creation, but I believe it's more than that. I believe that in calming the storms, I believe we see another example of Jesus actually having dominion over demonic powers. About having dominion over really any powers. Let me explain this, because in the ancient world in which this is being written, bodies of water were believed to be a place for evil spirits, and they would sometimes stir up great storms against sailors. In fact, we're also going to see language like Jesus rebuked the storm. In the same way that he rebuked demons, Jesus, he's going to get up in this boat, and he's actually going to rebuke the storm. Not tell it necessarily just to calm down or be still, but he's going to rebuke it in the same way that he would demons. And so there is so much more going on here than just Jesus controlling the high seas on this lake on this day. I think he is demonstrating once again his dominion, if you will, over powers. The miracle is also interesting because our text says that Jesus and his disciples have gotten into the boat to move away from the crowds. Remember, he's preaching to his crowd and he's telling them all these things about the parable of the sower and unpacking all that. And so then he says, hey, let's get in the boat. And so now it's just he and his disciples. Now, have you ever thought about this? How many times have you noticed that Jesus does a miracle that only benefits he and his disciples? Really, not a whole lot. All of the things that Jesus does, the disciples are really just bystanders. They're just kind of looking on, or maybe they're participating in it. But if you think about it, this miracle here of calming the storms benefited only the disciples. And I think that is significant for us. This is kind of a side little rabbit trail, but it's okay. If the disciples represent the church, and I believe that they do, if the disciples represent the church, then there is something that we can learn here as a church. You see, the usual position of the church is serving others with the name of Jesus, but it's also vital that we too are recipients of the ministry of Christ, and we too are recipients of the ministry of Christ. You see, without some belief and experience of the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit, the church collapses under the weight of what I would like to call institutionalism. And it really just kind of goes to some entity that has these self-promoting programs. You see, it's very important that we as a church, that we experience the almighty presence of Christ through his Spirit in our midst, that we're not just doing programs, that we're not just feeding the poor or feeding the homeless, that we're not just doing this or that we're doing that, not that we're just going into schools like Jackson and we got people who volunteer there, not that we're just doing those things. Those are great things, folks, but without the manifest presence of God in those activities, then we're nothing more than just a social club doing good things. All of those things have to be bathed in prayer, and all of those things have to be a result of the ministry and the presence of Jesus in our lives. But if you want to go do it by yourself, then go do it. Apparently, that's not too exciting for you guys. You're like, well, I got it figured out. But it's so true. Just can't do anything just because we just do it. It's got to be part of the ministry of Christ. So let's unpack this text. Yeah, verses 22 through 23, he says that they get into the boat and he says, let's go over to the other side. So they get in the boat and they set out. Verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. I believe that Jesus is going to teach us. He's going to teach his disciples something today. I believe that There are moments in following Jesus that we're going to experience storms. Now, I don't prescribe to a theology that says that God is up in heaven and he's like, what kind of storm can I create for Donnie today? Oh man, this is going to be fun. Watch this when I push this button. You know, watch this. Oh, so-and-so is going to the doctor today. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to create this storm. I don't prescribe to a theology that says God is up there just doing all this, saying, yes, God is sovereign. No doubt about that. When it comes to the grand scheme of creation, when it comes to the grand scheme of the cosmos, if you will, God indeed is a sovereign God. But there's also free will. There's also the fact that we live in a broken world, that we live in a world that is marred by sin. And God, yes, is redeeming that world, redeeming our life, but it hasn't come to full redemption yet. So as we walk through life, there are moments when storms are certainly going to arise. And we serve a God who wants to redeem those storms in our lives. He wants to redeem it. He wants to use it to show us something. He wants to use it to maybe lead us to a different place. And so that's what we have here. The disciples, they've gotten into the boat, and they come to this this storm, and Jesus, I believe he sees an incredible opportunity to teach the disciples something that they will never forget. You want to talk about teachable moments that you'll never forget. I'm sure this may have been one that disciples talked about a lot. You remember that time we were in that boat and we're all freaking out and you know, just going crazy, and we were like, oh, Jesus in the boat, you know, and see, I'm convinced that storms, this is the point I want you to see, storms will try to shadow our faith with fear. This is what happened to the disciples. The storm came about, and the fear, their fear was able to overshadow their faith. What current storm are you in? Does it have something to do with finances? Does it have something to do with a broken relationship? Does it have something to do with something that's going on at work? I don't know what the storm of your life is, but I'm convinced of this. Don't let fear overshadow your faith. You see, God, he takes the storms as a little bit. He takes the storm and he redeems them. And this is where we find our comfort. Our comfort is in knowing that Jesus is indeed with us, and he is redeeming our situation. And so look at the first part of verse 24. Disciples went down and they woke him up. So the storm comes and water is beginning to crash on the boat and water is coming in. And I mean, yes, who would not be a little uneasy about this? And look what the disciples do. They say, Master, Master, we are going to drown. And it reminds me of another truth, that whatever your storm is, whatever it looks like, we need to call out to Jesus in the storm. We need to call out to Jesus in the storm. Sometimes we spend so much time wondering why and just, you know, our lips pooched out and just, oh, woe is me, and trying to figure out maybe there's a reason for this. Well, maybe I've done this or maybe I've done this. There are moments where you just got to quit trying to find reason or logic and just call out to Jesus in the midst of your storm. You know, the disciples, they didn't get out there weather. I mean, they were fishermen. They understood the effects of the lake, and they understood that these things could happen at any moment, but they didn't get out and try to figure it out. Well, I didn't know this was supposed to happen today, or I didn't. Man, you know, no, they called out to Jesus in the midst of their need. They simply called out to Jesus in the storm. You see, when we call out, to Jesus, we call out for him to carry us, through. Sometimes he leads us. Sometimes he just literally carries us through. Some of you who have been around a while, you remember the Footsteps in the Sands poem. And I remember my dad used to have a little thing on the, remember like the little thing? It was like a bifold thing. It was like a piece of glass. And it had like the footsteps in the sand kind of thing. Anybody? One of you guys still got that in your living room, maybe. I don't know. If you do take a picture, I want to see it. I haven't seen one in years. But, you know, but it had a little poem about, you know, I didn't understand this, And look back, there's only one set of footsteps. Hey, God, why am I alone? And God's like, hey, those are my footsteps, man. I've been carrying you through this whole thing. You know, sometimes we don't even realize that we're being carried through until we look back and we're like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I knew that the whole time. Yeah, man, the whole time I knew. Right? So they call out to the storm for him to carry him through. And so look at the last part of verse 24 into verse 25. Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. All was calm. And then look at verse 25. Jesus says, where is your faith? He asked the disciples. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. You see, I'm convinced that there one of the reasons why the disciples feared the storm may have been because of the result of their past experience. Maybe they're fishermen. Maybe they've been caught in a storm before. Maybe they've heard about, you know, famous fisherman Joe Bob who died in the storm on the lake, and they got like a little memorial for him. And they're like, man, we don't want to end up like Joe Bob. Remember that one time? Maybe the past experiences of storms clouded their faith and clouded their judgment to where they couldn't even see, they couldn't even understand, because they were basing their reaction on past experiences. And I think we do that. Oh, well, man, so-and-so got the similar diagnosis 5 years ago. You know how it turned out for them? Man, you know, well, so they lost their job like this, and you know how it turned out for them? And we allow all the things of everyone else, or maybe your own past experiences. And that's all that we focus on. But we got to remember, Jesus is the perspective changer. You see, Jesus, he changes the perspective. Whatever your past is, whatever the results were, you have to remember that Jesus changes the perspective because Jesus is in the boat. The disciples may have heard of how storms had toppled over boats, but Jesus wasn't in that boat. But on that day, disciples, they forgot. Jesus was in the boat. So don't let fear control your present storm because of your past. Jesus is in the boat with you. And so Jesus asked, where is your faith? That's a simple question, but let's unpack that a little bit. He asked the disciples, where is your faith? And I think it's important to realize that Jesus asked this not because of their doubt, but I would argue that he asked this because of their fear. You see, he is certainly not saying that if they would have had faith, there would have not been a storm. After all, Jesus was in the boat. I mean, the one who was the very personification of faith and God, I mean, he was in the boat. So I don't think he's saying, well, because you doubted, this happened. He's asking them about their fear, not their doubt. And most likely, he's not saying that with faith they could have stilled the storm themselves, because don't forget, it's not until Luke chapter 9 that they are given power and authority. So that really hasn't come upon them yet, at least according to, with Luke's timeline. See, Jesus seems to be addressing not their doubts, but their fear during the storm. Fear, not doubt, is the opposite of faith, one writer says. One of my favorite writers who wrote a commentary on the book of Luke, Fred Craddock, man, just a beautiful preacher, and obviously not living anymore. But he contends that the issue here is not about doubt, but it's about fear. The thing is, they have been with Jesus long enough to know that they can trust him and his access to power, his access to God's power. So it's their fear that, I believe, troubles Jesus the most. You see, even in our doubts of how a storm may end, I believe we can lean on Jesus to drive away the fear. Again, I want to make a difference between doubt and fear. There's one thing to say, well, I'm just unsure how it's going to play out. That's a form of doubt. And you can still have that, but still say, not sure it's how it's going to play out, but I am not scared because I know Jesus is in the boat. It's one thing to, it's okay to ask questions and try to figure out why, you know, what's going on here, and how am I going to get from here to there? It's not about uncertainty. It's about saying, yeah, I'm uncertain, but I'm not scared because God is in the boat with me. And he is going to lead me and help me figure this thing out. As you wrap it up, it reminds me of a story that's found in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, had this ability God gives him visions and helps him get into the throne room of the king of Aram. And he's able to find out their move. And every time the king of Aram tries to move against Israel, they're there waiting for him because Elisha knows. And the king of Aram, all right, there's a spy here. Who's telling Israel about our secret? Who's telling Israel about our story? And they go, no, there's no one here. It's that prophet of God, Elisha. He has the ability to be in your bedroom. He has the ability to be in your innermost thoughts. And he goes, well, then let's go find him. Let's go get him. And so Elisha is there with his helper and with his assistant, and they're there. And all of a sudden, the army of Aram shows up, and they've got Elisha and his assistant surrounded. And of course, his servant, his assistant says, hey, look outside. You know, like, he's like the disciple in the boat. He's starting to freak out. Like, don't you care? Because Elisha's calm, cool, and collected. Look outside. And you see his response. Elisha, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And if you go into the story further, the servant's like, what are you talking about? Ain't nobody out there but people that want to kill us. I don't see anybody with us, Elisha. It's me and it's you. And I'm scared. Because you're a bald-headed man who can't fight. You know? That's what scripture is about. And so, but Elisha has the vision. He sees the angels, the angels of the Lord that are there, that are standing in between them and the king and the army of Aram. He sees it. And he knows. I don't know what storm that you're currently going through. I don't know what storm you're currently going through. I don't know what you can see or what you can't see. But the army of the Lord is with you. I don't know what you can see or what you can't see, but Jesus is in the boat with you. I can promise you that. Well, how can you promise me? What is God's promise, Pastor, that he is in the boat with me? I believe the cross is the promise. The cross is the promise that God loves you, that God is with you, and that no matter what you're going through, he knows exactly where you are. The fact that he chose to put himself on a cross and to take those nails, to be whipped and to be stabbed in the side, but then he conquered all of that when he resurrected. The cross is the promise that God is indeed with us, that he is in the boat. And then the disciples ask, man, who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the rain and the water obey him? I pray that God moves in your life in such a way that you ask that same question. Not the exact words, but just to have that awe, because I believe that's the tenor of what they were asking was, whoa, who's this guy? Who is this that even the wind and waves obey? And I pray that God moves in your life in such a way that you experience that. We're going to end this way. If you have a storm that you're currently going through, no one's going to ask you about it. I'm not going to ask any details. But I want to do something. I think that can have some very powerful imagery here. And worship, and band, you guys can go ahead and begin to get ready. But I want to see a powerful image here. If you have a storm in your life, and you really don't know what the next step is, you really don't know kind of how you're going to get to the other side, I'd like for you to come up here and just to stand up here and allow us to pray for you. Again, we're not asking details. We're not going to talk about it. I think a couple things are going to happen here. I think we're going to see that you're probably not the only one going through a storm. But if you're facing a storm, would you just come up here and allow me to pray for you? We're not going to talk about it. You don't need to tell anyone about it. But if there's a storm in your life right now, as the band begins to play, if there's a storm right now, I want you to come up here, and you can kneel at the altar if you're going to pray. But I want you to come up here, and as we gather up here, then we're going to pray about this. So let's stand and begin to worship. But there's a storm. Would you come up here? Allow us to pray for you. Talk about it. It's not embarrassing to come up here. It's we're actually all agreeing that there's storms in our lives. Now I want to do this. If you're a praying individual, and I know that we all are, if you're a person of faith, I want you to come up here, and I want you to surround those who have come up here. I want to give this visual representation of the army of the Lord surrounding us, that no matter what our storm is, no matter if it looks a little bleak, no matter if it looks a little uneasy, that there are those who are going through the storm with you, and there are those who are surrounding you. The army of the Lord is around. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we are thankful that you indeed are in the boat. Lord, there are so many moments in life, there are so many storms in life that come about. And Lord, it's easy for fear to well up in us. It's easy for us to look at past experiences and just assume that's how it's going to go. Or to look at someone else's life and assume, well, maybe that's how we're going to end up. Lord, may we never allow, Lord, the past experiences, Lord, to dictate, Lord, our faith. Lord, today we are here, those who have gathered here to recognize that they had a storm. Lord, I pray that as they feel these hands upon their back, as they feel the presence of these folks here today, Lord, that they would just see that this represents the army of the Lord. This represents your presence. This represents that we are not in the boat alone, that you indeed are with us. Lord, we're going to have our doubts. We're going to have uncertainty of how things may play out. But Lord, we know that we don't have to fear, that we do not have to be afraid, because you are with us. And for that, we are thankful. Lord, it's a beautiful name that we're able to call out. This name of Jesus, this name that changes things, this name that drives away the demons, this name, this powerful name that drives away all fears. It's the powerful name of Jesus, Father. Lord, as we proclaim this through song, Lord, may we be reminded that you are in the boat. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Those who are here, feel free to remain there and remain praying however you feel led. Let's lift this song up to him. Let's lift this as an anthem that we serve the beautiful name of Jesus that drives away all fear. offer a word of prayer and then just one little housekeeping item that I want us to talk about. Father, we are indeed thankful to have been in your presence. And Lord, we are indeed thankful, Lord, for who you are and, Lord, how you are moving in our lives. And Lord, for those who came and confessed, Lord, that they are currently going through a storm. I pray for that storm in their life. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in the boat. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even though there may be uncertainty of some details, that they would not fear. And Lord, I'm thankful for those who came and prayed with those and surrounded them. Lord, may that represent what it is to be in the family, to be in the community that has called your church. We're thankful for this, and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said together.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.